So let's move on to the next sutta. There's only a small extract of this next sutta. This is one of the large suttas in the Digha Nikaya called the Mahanidana Sutta, the great discourse on origination. It's a very nice discourse, the whole thing. And it starts off with the importance of Kalyana Mitta at the very beginning here. You know that famous, I'm sure you know that, many of you will know that famous sutta where the Buddha says that, oh no, Ananda says, Kalyana Mitta is 50% of the holy life. No, said the Buddha, it's 100% of the holy life. So that is very, very nice. That's not here, but that's just, I'm just referring to that, that's at the beginning of the sutta. So let's just have a quick look at what it says. And so, Ananda, feeling, conditions, craving. Craving, conditions, seeking. Seeking, conditions, acquisition. Acquisition, conditions, decision-making. Decision-making, conditions, lustful desire. Lustful desire, conditions, attachment. Attachment, conditions, appropriation. Appropriation, conditions, avarice. Avarice, conditions, guarding of possession. And because of guarding of possessions, there arise the taking up of stick and sword, quarrel, disputes, arguments, strife, abuse, lying, and other bad, unwholesome qualities. So this is part of a teaching on dependent origination, right? And in this teaching of dependent origination, the Buddha makes a slight detour, kind of halfway through. Instead of continuing to the very end, he stops in the middle and he looks at this this little detour here as part of the teaching. And this particular one is very interesting because what it shows you is how craving very often is very closely connected with ill will and with violence and all these other problems in the world. That you cannot really extract craving completely, ill will on one side and craving on the other side. They're very often so closely related to each other. And this is what this shows you, why that is the case, right? And the point that he's making here, although you don't have to worry too much about all of these things, because I think the main message is quite clear. If you crave, what happens? If you crave, from craving comes attachment, from craving comes having possessions, right? Because having possessions is a way of gratifying the craving, to making sure you can gratify now and in the future. And as soon as you have possessions and you are attached to those, you will guard them, right? We were talking about that before today, this man with his BMW who was, you know, parking it far away and couldn't use it anymore. It's a bit sad, isn't it? It's not, you are no longer in charge of your possessions. Your possessions own you. Your possessions dictate your life, right? And that is a bit, that is not very nice. So you become the prisoner of your own possessions, which is really very unfortunate. So you, because of all of this, because of the attachment that we naturally have to have for our possessions, the people we love, etc., if somebody is challenging that, that is happening, of course, all the time, then that is where we get into all of these problems, right? You guard them. Because of that, all of these problematic things happen as a consequence. And I think a lot of the violence and problems we see around the world, a lot of that also often has its root in desire and craving, right? We want to control things, because if we can control things, then you know, our society will be prosperous and all of these kind of things. I think that is a big problem. I don't really know this, but you know, you have things like the wars in Iraq, for example, when the Americans you know, invaded Iraq. And there are obviously many motivations coming together there, but I would be very surprised if one of the motivations is to have some, is to think that they could gain some kind of control over oil supplies, this sort of thing, right? That would be part of it. Many motivations coming together, but I would be very surprised if that isn't part of it. They can't say that in public, right? Because it doesn't sound very good, but I'm sure that the reality is a little bit like that. And it's only human. I don't particularly mean to criticize the Americans. We are all like that. Every nation is like that. But it's just the reality of human nature. And of course, if you can control the oil supply, it means that you can control your own economy a little better and all of these kind of things. It ultimately comes back to greed and desire and all these kind of things. So it is a big problem. It's a problem on a very large scale, and all of humanity basically suffers as a consequence. Does that make sense to everybody? No. Yeah. No. So okay. Yes, please.
If one leads to another, so we can take care of things first, right?
Can take care of feelings.
Yeah, feelings first. No feelings means no grabbing.
Yes.
No grabbing means no seeking.
Yeah.
So what we need to do is the feelings first.
If one
leads to one,
so maybe
take care of the feelings first and start from feelings.
Okay. Good question. Yeah, thanks for that question. That's important. I didn't actually really talk about this in enough detail, probably. Yeah. It can't really be much feelings, right? You have feelings is kind of a given. If you've been born, you're going to feel. You can't really avoid feeling. This is part of the problem. Once you exist, once you are a being, not just human, animals, devas, every being feels. It's part of nature to feel things. Yeah. So because you have feeling, you will crave it. Feelings will, by the nature, be some nice feelings, some not nice feelings, and you will crave according to that. You will crave for the good ones, and you will try to avoid the bad ones. So the problem here, this is in the middle of dependent arising. So what you have to do is you have to go back further. What is the condition? Why do we feel that? And the Buddha said, well, why we feel is because we have six senses. So all the impressions of the world that come in through the six senses of one another. That is the cause of, no, sorry, contact. I'm getting up. So first contact, right? We contact the world through the six senses. Contact just means experiencing the world. The cause for the six senses is said to be nama rupa. Nama rupa is basically the... I think the best way of looking at nama rupa is usually, for me, is just to regard it as experience and such. So you have experience, but you can also regard it as a physical and psychological organism. In other words, what you are as a human being, mind and body, basically. Another way of looking at it. And the cause for that, we talked about this morning, was consciousness. The cause for that is sankhara, which is the volition, the will, the doing, the creative activity inside. And the cause for that, the final analysis, is ignorance, avijja. And that is where you have to do something. You have to do something with that delusion, the wrong understanding of the world. And that is where we can do something. And then, if you do something with that, and you really abolish that ignorance completely, then the rest of dependent arising, the whole thing unravels. It's called the cessation mode of dependent arising. It means that when the first one ceases, the second one ceases. Second fact is the third one ceases, all the way to the very end. And that is really the only way to do that. So,
can you control feelings?
Can you control feelings? To some extent, you can, or you can be wise about feelings, right? But what you are really controlling is not so much feeling, but it's your perception of the world. And by controlling your perception of the world, you're also controlling feelings. Right? So you can, in a certain situation, you can become angry or you can keep your cool, right? Depending on how you look at the situation. Now, anger is going to give rise to certain feelings, keeping you cool to other feelings. So that's in that way, you can, to some extent, you can influence your feelings. But it's only a degree, so you can only do it to a certain degree. And beyond that, there will still be some craving left.
But sometimes from perception.
Yeah.
Sometimes perceptions are in a gray area.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's hard to judge whether it's right or wrong. Then how do we know whether our perception is right or wrong?
So often you don't. If you don't know if it's right or wrong, what you do is you deal with those things you can deal with. And there will be certain perceptions that are obviously wrong that don't work. Right? So you deal with those first of all. Remember that was what we were talking about on the first day, that there are different defilements, have different degrees. There are very coarse defilements, middling defilements, refined defilements. Were you here on the first day? Yes. Yes, I can't remember it. Were you here on the first day? On Friday? Yeah?
First day.
Yeah. Yes, okay, good. I'm just, some people came on second day, so just, otherwise I would recap to you what we're talking about. So on the first day, right, we're talking about the various defilements. So basically, work on those things that are most obvious, right? And as you do that, it will uncover and it will start to see the next layer more clearly afterwards. So if it is gray, just put that aside for now, don't worry about it too much, and work with those things that are very obvious to you. And then when you work on those things, new things will become uncovered and you can work with that stage by stage, more and more refined.